Coming up on this episode of the Mario Rosenstock podcast.
I just was watching it going, come on, come on, give it to me now, give it to me. And then Victoria Beckham does her Rolls Royce.
Yes.
And I just goes, bingo. I love it. I love when that happens. It's like such an adrenaline rush for me. I went straight away. I was like, Dad, where's your white shirt? I'm taking on Victoria Beckham.
What have Roy Keane, Peter Crouch, Abby Clancy, Louis Walsh, Joanne McNally and Vogue Williams and many, many other celebs got in common? They've all been lip-synced by Kaylee Trapp. As Liam Neeson would say, Kaylee has a very particular set of skills. She takes brilliant moments from TV shows and podcasts that have all gone viral that we may have all seen and kind of recreates them perfectly on camera using her own face lip-syncing. So, for example, that great moment from the Beckham documentary where Victoria finally admits that her dad drove a Rolls Royce in the 80s, Kaylee plays the part of both David and Victoria and lip syncs to the actual audio of the clip. If you've never seen Kaylee's work, check it out on Instagram right now. It's Kaylee Trapp, T-R-A-P-P-E. And then come back and listen to this great conversation where she reveals how she does it, why she does it, how her victims have reacted to her sketches, and her decision to give up her full-time job to dedicate everything to this unique talent.
Peter Crouch, I've done a few of him and he's mentioned me a few times.
Yes.
But in his last podcast with Abby Clancy, he was like, let go, she can piss off.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, Peter Crouch always gets slagged for his height and his blab, but there's also so many elements to him that you might not pick up on until you see somebody else taking them off.
Yeah.
He's his own man.
Oh God, he's gas.
I've been tapping in and out a bit to Big Brother. He's on it at the minute. I look at that man and go, that man knows no boundaries. He will do what he wants to do.
He doesn't give a shite. Mario, I just don't give a fuck. Why did you do it, Louis? I did it for the money.
Give him a bit more sass. Shrug the shoulders.
I did it for the cash.
You have to be careful what way you talk about mouths. So I was on... I was on the 6 o'clock show a few months ago with Karen Koster and Greg O'Shea, and we were talking about different characters, and I was like, oh, and I saw Peter Crouch who said, there's a mouth I can work with, and we all just looked down and I was like, oh no.
My full chat with Kaylee Trapp coming up in just a few minutes, but first, when various celebs found out that Kaylee was coming on the show, they rang in to the Mario Rosenstock hotline in their droves. Here they are.
Hi, you've reached the Mario Rosenstock podcast. Please leave a message.
Kaylee, it's Louis Walsh. The way you do me, it's incredible. You remind me of a younger me before I had all the work done. You've got to do Sharon. You're going to be huge.
Victoria, I'm on the phone.
Hello, this is David Beckham. Message for Kaylee. Kaylee, thanks a million for doing me. Victoria was raging at first when I told her you were doing me, but she totally got the wrong end of the stick, so she thought it was something else. But anyway, I really like it. Thanks very much.
Oh, it's gone. This is Roy Keane. All credit to dubbing and lip-syncing at the end of the day. Who do you think you are? Doing me with a side eye? I don't do side eye at people. I do front eye. Work harder the next time. Get it right. Cheers.
So let's get straight to my chat with Kaylee Trapp. If you know her work, you'll know how talented she is. If you've never seen her work, believe me, she's going to be everywhere very soon, so you will soon be familiar with it. It's a unique talent she has, so I started by asking her to describe, in her own words, what exactly she does.
The answer is, I don't know.
Try.
And even worse, I gave up teaching for this. What do? I lip sync, which is essentially... a form of impersonation, I suppose, but I'm sitting with the master of impersonation, so I don't want to belittle his art. But it's, for me, I was explaining this earlier, for an impersonation like that you do or Conor Moore does, I feel like the sense that you need the most is your ears. Like you do the radio impressions in the morning and I would think that Roy Keane's talking on the radio.
Yeah.
For me, it's your eyes.
Yeah.
So people often message me and the highest compliment I can get is, I knew who you were doing before I turned up the volume.
Yeah.
So for me, it's about getting their mouth, their face right. And all I do is I take a clip that's already exists, be it Roy Keane or whoever, as Peter Crouch, a clip of them speaking and then act as them reenacted as a lip sync. It kind of took off over COVID, I think, that all this lip sync and crack, but I just went to town with it, really.
Yeah. Why did you decide to do it?
That's another good question. Yeah. I hate it, but the lockdown was hit, and I was someone who loved to be busy in my day. So I found TikTok. It was growing at the time, and I saw people doing these lip syncs, and I thought I could have a crack at this because I loved acting growing up. Mm. But it was always one thing I fell short in everything for. I was talking to my father about this the other day. I was like, remember that time I tried this and it just fell short at the last hurdle? I tried that and it fell short. I blame a lot of it on the fact that I was from Monaghan and thought it was small town and couldn't do it. But that's all mentality. Like when I look back now, I'm like, that was just in my head. I should have pursued acting because I went and did teaching and I loved it. But now I have this chance to do a very roundabout way of acting as such.
Yes.
Is it I don't know, would you see the acting in it?
Oh no, I would back you up 100%, Kaylee. And in the million interviews I've done, I get kind of asked a similar kind of question to you. And as the years have gone by, it's come down to the same thing. It is acting.
Mm-hmm.
So what is acting? Acting is inhabiting a character. It's imagining yourself to be that character. A simple word for it is pretending.
Exactly.
Actors pretend. If they weren't pretending, the only other option is they actually think they're them. Now, the only hurt
person...
That's
like method acting, well, Daniel Day-Lewis style.
I've never been I've never really understood method acting, mm-hmm. really.
I get it to a certain degree. I actually admire it, but then I do feel it can be maybe too far in one direction.
Well, because I've always taken it to its nth degree with method acting. I always see that Harve Weinberg is eventually going to be on the phone to Daniel Day-Lewis going, "Hey, Daniel." "Hello." "Daniel, I've got a fantastic new part for you, man. It's a serial killer in Manhattan. How are you going to go about doing this?" "Leave it with me."
You'd be worried.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, he obviously can't take the role then because he won't be able to.
Exactly. Well, we'd like to think so.
Yeah. So what it is it's inhabiting a character. With me, I had similar issue to you, really, because I am an actor and I've always been an actor, but yet really what was happening was that I was only getting a job either every 3 months or every 6 months, or the jobs I was getting were obviously written by somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I used to play the Doctor in Glenroe, right, which was a big
wow.
So I played the Doctor at Glenroe.
Amazing.
But I might be waiting around for like 9 hours, and then I'd have to come into a pub and go, "Pint please, Teasy," to the barmaid.
Yeah.
And then that was it. Right, Mario, that's you done.
Yeah, you've no control over
and
it.
And you're going, "Sorry, I just said a pint, please." And I've just been waiting all day. So then I found this job whereby I just write all the material myself. And if I want to play a character like Daniel Day-Lewis, I just write him.
Yeah,
and
it's suddenly the beauty
I'm
of it. Yeah,
so I'm acting. So you're acting as well. But in a sense, you're acting with your fantastic face.
Yeah, well, I was like, well, everyone else's fantastic face is more so, but with me, I suppose, because of social media and because I do this in social media, I've absolutely loved playing all the parts, as far as I'm the actor and that's the main part, but I'm also then the editor, the producer, I pick the clip, and 99% of the time that is class, and I love that, because a bit like you, sometimes you feel like not you know best, but you're like, I know what works with my audience. I know what people want to see. I get it. And I get suggestions for clips all the time. And I'm like, that'll work great. That won't. That blah, 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 blah.
Can you tell immediately?
Yeah. Oh, straight away.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. Even if... Yeah. Oh, and I don't know about you, but maybe when you come up with a new impersonation or you see somebody, but when I see a clip and I have that light bulb moment that there's my neck. I remember watching the Netflix documentary, The Beckhams. And I sat down with my popcorn and my fizzy drinks, and I just watched it with eager. I just was watching it going, come on, give it to me now, give it to me. And then Victoria Beckham does her Rolls Royce,
yes.
And I just goes, bingo. I love it. I love when that happens. It's like such an adrenaline rush for me. I went straight away. I was like, "Dad, where's your white shirt? Mom, where's your wide leg jeans? I'm taking on Victoria Beckham." And the weird thing is, I look absolutely nothing like Victoria
Beckham.
Well,
that's unfair to say. You have dark hair.
But even
you're
that.
You're young, you have dark hair.
But you don't have to. That's my point there.
Yeah, no, you don't.
And like, I'd like to think I look nothing like Louis Walsh. I love you, Louis, if you're listening. But I'd like to think I look nothing like Louis Walsh. And yet, I do Louis Walsh, and everyone says you look the image of him. And I'm like, I take that to no offence, because that means I'm doing my job
but
right.
Kaylee, Louis Walsh is great.
Oh.
Because a woman doing Louis Walsh is kind of funny. because he is so camp anyway.
Yeah, I overdo that too. Yeah. I think I was listening to you one time and you were saying that you can add dimensions to them that makes it funny. So that was another hurdle I was trying to get over a while back, was just doing a lip sync of a clip is not good enough.
I know what you mean.
And the problem with what I do is I can't add dimensions in the way that I can make them say things that they didn't say.
Yes.
Because that's a great thing. They can't get offended by what I do because I'm like, you said it. I'm just redoing it.
Yes.
But also the way I add the dimensions is by giving them a couple of maybe shrugs of shoulders.
Absolutely. Attitude.
Yeah. And with, I give Louis a lot of attitude.
Or side eye.
Yes, with Roy Keane.
Or side eye with Roy Keane. Yeah. So Roy Keane doing side eye is funny.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're actually doing is you're illustrating the kind of humanity of these people, the humanness of these people. We're all animals.
Mm-hmm.
We're all just creatures. Like, we all look different, but we're all part of the same species.
Yeah.
And things are all, when I'm angry, it probably feels the same as Roy Keane is angry. But we look different when we're angry.
We show it in different ways.
We show it in different ways.
And I try to, not abuse, but try to use those little quirks that everybody has and try and exploit them.
Yeah.
I know that I mentioned this, I don't know if you're aware of this, that Peter Crouch.
Yes.
I've done a few of him and he's mentioned me a few times.
Yes.
But in his last podcast with Avi Clancy, or one of the last, he was like, let go, she can piss off.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's only because I'm saying the truth. It's because I'm pointing out something that is clearly maybe not an insecurity, but whatever. But he laughs it off and he loves it. And she's great too. But I'm like, Peter Crouch always gets slagged for his height and his blah, but there's also so many elements to him that you might not pick up on until you see somebody else taking them off.
Yeah.
And it's interesting when I do meet people out and about and I tell them about themselves, they're like, what? Like, I remember telling one of the two Johnnies that he was quite teethy.
Yeah.
He was like, what? And they're all start touching their faces and looking in the mirror and being like, is this a problem? Do I need to work on this or whatever?
Yeah.
And you're like, no, it's just your character.
Yeah.
And I was saying, I was doing a workshop with a group of young people there a couple of weeks ago. And I don't know about you, but I've kind of realizing a lot about what I do as I go on. And I was like, in a world full of, I don't know, people were trying to be all look like each other these days. We're all trying to get their teeth done or jaw filler or whatever else. We're all trying to look like this perfect self. And I always say, with what I do, I get to see and really look at people for all their little quirks and all their little differences and what makes them unique. And I just think it's such a shame that we try and change those little things a lot.
Yes.
And that's a bit somber, a bit sad, but I'm like, I'd be nothing without Peter Crouch's laugh or without Vogue Williams' chin or without Joanne Minnelli's eyes. So,
well, you've raised a different point there.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean.
And I do think about that.
And you've raised, and it's interesting that you think about it, and you've raised a different point there, and it's about how conformist we all are as humans these days. And like, I've always thought, for example, let's say, right, I'm heterosexual, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm attracted to women and I'm married and all that sort of stuff, right? But I've always thought, looking at a woman, I always liked women with just a little bit of quirk.
Yes.
It's as in maybe fangs, or not fangs, but like little pointy tooth or something, you know? Not, as you were talking about teeth, not the kind of really,
I know,
straight teeth.
I call them like tic-tac teeth.
Yeah.
Or like someone said Lego teeth. Or, and I'm not, no offence to anybody who has done
Torquay
their teeth.
Teeth.
Torquay
Keith
teeth.
Keith Duffy, Keith's teeth.
Oh, God help Keith.
Yeah. So,
I think a lot of them are also regretting that decision. And I'm like, there are things you just can't go back on once you get your teeth shaved or whatever else. It's like, just be careful.
But it's people's individual quirks which make
them. And I was thinking, you know, you were saying there you liked that. But we're getting to the point nowadays where it's, what you like is nearly overshadowed by what you're told you like. The world is telling us that we should want to have teeth like this, so we go and do that. That actually happened to me. I had an experience last year where I had braces when I was younger and everything like that, and I was never insecure about my teeth, but somebody offered me to get my teeth done. And I was like, all of a sudden, oh, I need my teeth done now. And then I just had to have a word with myself and go, no, like, that's not what you want. You never did want that. But it's just interesting. I just think, like, if I was to get my teeth done, I wouldn't be able to do blah anymore. Well, I wouldn't be able to do blah anymore. So, you know.
And here's another interesting angle. We're talking about the face and the way people look and everything. That's exactly
like
what
morphism.
What you're into. But I remember now recently looking at a woman, right? And she looked really great. But the fact of the matter was that she'd had loads of Botox done.
Mm-hmm.
And I no longer see that anymore, because we're so used to watching women with successful Botox.
Exactly.
So women who now have Botox and are doing it quite well, we're used to seeing the fact that their foreheads don't move anymore. And we regard it now as it's gone into our judgmental brain as being, she's really attractive.
Yeah.
Whereas before, maybe 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 25 years ago, you might have gone, something wrong with her forehead.
Exactly.
Now it's, no.
Now it's like, right, what is her secret?
What's her secret? Do you get me?
Exactly. So, like, what does growing old look like anymore?
Exactly.
And I'd fear that when you are 60 and you haven't had any work done, that people might now in the future think, God, that woman looks shocking old.
Yeah.
But that's what we all should probably look like at that age. Just she's the one who hasn't had the work done.
Yeah.
And each to their own. And I wouldn't rule it out for the future either. But I just think, do you know, just you should be proud of the little quirks you have because you're giving me business.
Exactly. So the quirkier you look like,
exactly.
So who was the first person you kind of did that kind of made a bit of a splash?
Flyer. Who's that?
Oh, Flyer. Nadine.
Yeah, it is Nadine, yeah. Nadine was the first. I got up and made cookies one day and I decided to do it and it's Nadine Coyle and the rest is history.
Yeah.
She's one I've done quite frequently, but probably one of the only people who's never reached out or I've never heard from, so I've always been like,
we all have them now, Katie.
I hope Nadine doesn't take offence.
Well, I asked Daniel O'Donnell onto this podcast and I got a written letter going, this is never going to happen.
Oh, no.
I wish you all the best with your career in the future.
Oh, Daniel. Did it stop you from doing Daniel?
No.
Good.
No. In fact, it kind of secretly, I had a little bit of I felt good.
Yeah, you and Dermot Bannon have something in common now.
A little bit of that, yeah. So you know, my job is not to be friends with these people, but
at the
same time, I do take on the challenge of having one of the people on the podcast if they're willing to come on.
That'd be great, and like I think it's important for people. Like 99% of the time, they're going to see the funny in it, and I actually get people all the time being like, "Do me," and I'm like, it's interesting how people want you to do them, and it's interesting. I think. I know a line, I'm sure you know your line, Conor Murray was telling me. He knows the line between offending people and not. Like, there are a couple of people that I'd love to do, but I just think that I would be really drawing on an insecurity if I was to do them, maybe, and I just don't want to do that. I don't want to do that at the same time. But I think, like, you have to see the crack in it. You have to see
you
the light in
my,
it.
My line is, what you do publicly is you. If you're a person in the public eye, and what you do publicly is out there. What you do privately, I try to stay away from. Obviously.
Absolutely. And you don't want to be making up things that aren't.
And obviously,
necessarily
if we know
true,
about stuff you've done privately, I don't usually go for that.
Yes.
Or if I've heard a rumour about something, I never go for that.
Yeah, because you're not sure if it's
actually
correct.
That's why I like doing politicians, because they've got to be held to account for what they publicly do.
Yes.
You know, and so that's fine. And to be honest with you, nearly all of them, in fact, all of them get it.
Yeah, of course.
They all get it. They all go, go on, hit me harder.
Yeah.
Go on, harder. I'm used to it. Go on.
Yeah, yeah.
Go on.
Knock a man when he's down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I remember that, because I've told this story before, I remember Michael Noonan going, why don't you ever do me at all?
Oh.
You never do me. Like one of those ones that people ask you. And then I started doing him a year later and... I think he was sorry because I found a way to just totally rip through.
I know, they always think
so he shouldn't have asked for
it. I know.
Because the particular impression of him made him look like a weaker thing than Bertie Ahern or whatever.
Yes.
So Flyer was the first. And who was kind of then kind of...
So I remember, I don't remember the exact order, but I do remember going by followers. I said the story before as well that I had 13,000 followers on Instagram one day, and I went and I did the, I don't know if you've ever seen the Joanne McNally and Vogue Williams Jabari's clip. She's talking about the doobs and she's like, Vogue, and she's going mad, and I did it, and within a day I had 60 something thousand.
Wow.
So I thought that was the...
Because their followers all tagged onto it.
Literally, the
and
power of sharing.
It.
Yeah, yeah, they did. They shared it.
Yeah.
And in fairness to them, they've always been so supportive. I've done them a few times and they would actually get on to me a bit. And there are two that I like to know that they're happy enough with it.
Yeah.
And that got me to 60. And then the next one was Louis Walsh.
Right.
I call Louis my wee slouch mouth. God, love him.
Have you met him?
Never, but I've heard from him. So he doesn't have social media.
He was
but
on this, right?
But I did. I listened to that.
I know, but also I've known him for years and Jesus, he's gas. He's just gas.
He's his own man.
Oh God, he's gas.
I've been tapping in and out a bit to Big Brother. He's on it at the minute. I look at that man and go, that man knows no boundaries. He will do what
he
wants to do.
He doesn't give a shite.
Isn't that amazing? I'd love to go on a night out.
Mario, I just don't give a fuck. So you'd ask him something and say, why did you do it, Louis? I did it for the money.
Give him a bit more sass. Shrug the shoulders.
I did it for the cash.
Sharn.
So yeah, there's a lot of humanity in what you do. So, but nobody can blame you for doing them. It's them that's saying
that's
the words, Kayleigh.
Yeah.
So you can always say, I mean, that's the name. If you were doing CDs or DVDs, you could call your DVD, "You started it." Or, you know,
exactly,
you said it.
Yeah, exactly.
But you said it, not me.
Yeah. I always thought if I was to do something, I'd call it trapped because I'm, we play it words. So
that's
there you go.
Good.
I'll have to copyright that one.
Here's an interesting for you because it might give you a way of telling me something, but maybe telling me something about the future as well. How do you make money out of it? And more to the point, how could you make money out of it? And how could you make it into a path that you could create more for yourself?
Yeah, like there's pros and cons with it. The cons, I suppose, of the money-making side of things is that it's not guaranteed. And then sometimes it's great and sometimes it gets quiet. It can depend on what month of the year it is. So when I started initially, I was teaching. So I was never driven by money. I was never, I hate to say it, but I didn't need money. I had my wage there. Yeah. So that was great. But then...
What did you teach, by the way?
Primary school.
Primary school teacher.
Yeah.
So you're Miss Trapp.
I was Miss Trapp, yeah, but I'm on career break
or
this
Miss Kayleigh.
Year. Miss Trapp. Yeah, I never needed it for money. I always did it as a hobby, and I always had this thing in my brain that I didn't want to ever do it for money, even though I knew I was hoping that we'd get to a point where I would make money out of it. But basically, the first few times I remember getting offered money and I didn't know the value of anything. And I was my own. I was working, doing it for myself, and I hadn't a clue of anything. And I would do the odd brand deal, but it's an interesting one.
Explain how you do the brand deal.
Yeah. Say for example, now I have an agency, so it's a bit easier because it goes through them. Mm. But before that, the brand would get on to me and tell me their brief. So let's say it was I worked with Heineken last year for the rugby, and they would tell me that they wanted to work with me on a video, and a lot of them would give you a brief, a lot of them would leave you kind of free to do it. We have this campaign coming up, it was the Rugby World Cup last year, and we want you to do whatever you want on this. Now for me, there's a bingo moment sometimes where I had to do, can you guess, Ron Nogara, French clip. So that had been requested so much. I've always wanted to do it, but it's like one of those videos I kept in the back pocket, being like, I might keep this for something in the future, for the Rugby World Cup or for a brand, and I used it then. So it's great because
now, there's no problem about using that, was there?
No. See, that's the thing now. Obviously, the beauty of AI and copyright and stuff like that's starting to creep in a bit, that I have to be careful with the likes of... hard to explain
the rights issues.
Yeah. So if it was a famous blockbuster, say Oppenheimer, for example, I can't use it for an ad because it's got the rights, and I haven't seeked the rights off it. But if it's somebody like yourself or like Ron Nogara in the public society, I can do that no problem because, like you said, they said it. That's fine. So it really does depend. It's getting stricter, which is kind of bursts my bubble sometimes a little bit. But I understand it at the same time. But so far, I've had a couple issues with it, with wanting to do certain clips that I haven't been able to do. But you just go and you find a plan B really with it. But it's been great because a lot of the comments I would get would be, the way you market things is very clever, in which you're selling a product, but you're also giving us a clip that we love. Like, everyone really wanted me to do that clip of Ron Nogara. Mm. And it's one that I learned, and I did it. And it was a tough clip. It was nearly a minute long, completely speaking English and French. And trying to be him as well at the same time, but also then I'm plugging the World Cup and I'm plugging the Heineken and whatever else, so you get the best of both. Mm. And then for me, I've said no to most brands purely because either it didn't affiliate with what I do or it was oversaturated. There's some brands out there in this industry that you hear every Tom, Dick and Harry doing every day of the week, and I always just said no, not doing those, because I just feel like you're inviting in the hate with those, and it's not something I actually use. So I've been fairly, my morals, not to blow my own trumpet, but I've always had this type of precedent. Being a teacher, I was like, I'm not going to do anything provocative or evocative, or try and keep it as PG as I can. And then also doing only brands that I like doing or want to do. And it's paying off nicely because I did less is more. So I could have earned so much more money last year. And I know people who say yes to everything, but for me, I did it very carefully and selectively, which, yes, might not have given me as much money as others, but it's, I'm starting to see how it's paying off now. Yeah. Because I feel like, and I don't like to speak for everybody, but I feel like it's more credible when you're a lot more selective with things. Mm. And it's the same with my characters. I could do a video, I could do two videos a day if I wanted to, but I'd rather nail and ace my Louis Walsh than do three videos that are mediocre.
Do you mind, or do you mind being showing your own persona and voice in public? I remember Robert De Niro once. Mm-hmm. He used to talk about, he used to do very few interviews, and they used to ask why he did very few interviews, and he said, you know, I just don't want people to see the person. I want to see the people to see the characters.
Yeah.
I'm quite a shy guy. I'm not very talkative. I don't like being interviewed. And so I just want people to see the characters. And I think that the more they see of me, the less they'll believe in the characters. Now, that's just his opinion at a certain point in time.
No.
He may not have that opinion anymore.
Yeah.
But I was wondering if you thought, well, if people see me now all the time speaking as Kaylee, will that affect their ability to buy into my characterizations?
It's interesting you say that. I have a couple of things on that one. Number one, the day I was told or referred to as my first article, I think, about me as a comedian, someone referred to me as a comedian, my brother burst out laughing. He's like, you? What? And I remember just at that point, and I love my brother to bits, but I remember just going, yeah, Kaylee, you're not funny in real life. Your characters are funny. So that really did stop me at the beginning. Not stop me, but it definitely was in the back of my mind as to, I can't be talking and blah, 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 because people would say, oh, she's very funny in the videos, but in real life, not at all, or whatever it is. And I didn't want to be expected to be this stand-up comedian, because that's not what I am. But at the same time, I used to always love presenting and talking and everything like that. So I was like, why don't I just do it in my own way? And if people will love you or hate you, whatever, you just have to take that on the chin. The other thing is then, coincidentally, I have had my page now, I'd say 3 or 4 years, and it wasn't until maybe a year ago I actually spoke ever.
Yes.
Never once.
Yes.
Said even hello.
Right.
I always did my videos. I always texted or wrote up my points, but never. And I kind of, it was actually nearly a game in the end. I loved being like people guessing where I was from, like the amount of people who thought I was a South Dub. I think that's probably Joanne and Vogue inspired. Oh, yeah. Or a lot of people thought I was Derry for the Derry Girls and Nadine.
Right.
So I think most people had made their minds up on what I was supposed to sound like.
Okay.
And I quite liked that mystery.
Yes.
And then also, not to compare myself to Robert De Niro, but like we said earlier, acting is my baby, that I did want to be an actor. And I always thought that I loved the way the actors could go away on their sets, live a private life, do their things. And yes, they'd have to do the big catwalks and whatever else or whatever it is afterwards, the red carpet events, but they could nearly go and live a quiet life, not a quiet life, but they didn't have to be these big social media stars. And I loved that. I always said that all I want to do is act. I don't care for the social media stuff. But then it just started to turn into, I became a content creator. I hate the word influencer, but essentially that kind of is what it is. And I was like, right, Kaylee, you just have to go with the times here. You're going that direction and try and enjoy it. So now I love doing it, but I still think for me, the dream would be to be on set, to be on a set, to work for a director, to work for blah, and to actually just experience that, because I've been on a few TV ads and 100%. Stuff, and there's nothing like it. There's no adrenaline like that.
Yeah, and in a way, like, and I'm not joking with you here, but in a way, you know, one of your best audition pieces is your face.
I know.
And the animation in your face and your ability to direct yourself in a scene.
Yes.
If I was a director or a casting director and somebody says, hey, take a look at this girl. Hey, she's lip syncing. We don't even hear her speaking. Yeah, but look, she's got something.
Yes.
Well, what? Well, look at her face. Do you like looking at that face? See what it's able to do? You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so like, you're right.
I know.
Of course it's acting. It's all acting.
That's what it is. And like, I feel like even though I don't use my voice, it doesn't rule me out for that, because I love doing impressions and such, but I love doing accents, and I do a lot of stage stuff at home.
Yeah.
I know it's amateur, but at the same time, I know I have it in me.
Mm.
I just don't show that side as much on my social media, and I can and I will, but at the same time, I want to get maybe more into auditioning. Like, I did a course, a Louise Kiley course before Christmas there, and I remember
she's a casting director.
Yeah, she is, and she's, they're fantastic, and it was such it was uplifting because it kind of reaffirmed to me that I do have, even though I'm known as a lip syncer and I'm known for my social media, I have that in me. If I try, maybe something good will come of it. Because I remember even one of the people who were on the team, he actually goes, you can tell, you know, the camera angles well, and you can tell that you know how to play to a camera subtly and things like that. So
it's a craft.
Yeah. So I, even though what I'm doing is a bit of crack, it hopefully will lead to something a bit more serious in the future.
It's related, although inversely to dubbing and to animation.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, doing voices for animation.
Exactly. It's a very, very strange, very strange.
So women or men, do you equal for
that's
you?
As in who follows me or
no,
how many characters?
Who you do.
Both. Mm. That's the beauty of it. I think, I suppose, I don't know if you would struggle with when you're doing a voice, but it's probably hard to do a voice of each gender, like bang on.
No, it isn't. It is hard.
Where with me, I know I'm never going to actually look like Roy Keane, but at the same time, if I get his mannerisms okay, it doesn't matter that I'm a girl.
No, but that's what people are getting.
Yeah. You just have
to draw
on.
That you're a girl
on. Yeah.
Is, it's like, it's asking so many questions. You're basically going, like one of the questions you're asking when you're watching you do Roy Keane, right, is you're going, is there a little femininity to Roy Keane?
Oh my goodness, Roy, if you're listening, I don't agree.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a little bit like those, have you seen those Haribo ads?
Yes, where it's the children versus the adult. Yeah. Yeah. And that's another thing. I absolutely love doing children lip syncs as well, because I get to play on the characteristics of a child, innocence, the puppy dog eyes, whatever it is that a child has that we lose as an adult, I get to go back to. And people love those clips. Mm. It's the best thing about what I do is it's very diverse. I can take on any ethnicity, any race, any whatever it is, anything at all, you can kind of do it, which is great because I can, no matter what the clip is.
I have another question for you then.
Oh, no, I've probably eaten my own words, am I?
No. I have another question for you then. What about doing, this is a question, I probably should have asked you this in 2017 or 18 when it would have been a hot button topic.
Okay.
So what about doing black people, Chinese people, Indian people, people of race, people
Like I've done that before, and I wouldn't have batted an eyelid. Now, I always try and tread carefully not
to
offend anyone.
Your cultural appropriation.
No, because even like I would do Mikey Richards quite a lot, and we're like the best of mates, and he's always been so supportive. He's actually one of my favourite characters, and I, do you know what? It's never been a thing. And I always say, don't make a thing out of nothing. Like even like, I'm doing different projects at the minute, and sometimes I think we talk about talking about these things a lot, and it's just go out and do it, and don't draw attention to it, and just like, why not? I'd like to think that everyone would like to see a bit of everything. And so far, I've never heard.
Michael Richards is great.
Yeah, he's it's his laugh. He always has.
Yeah,
this,
but also his physical stature.
Yeah,
I remember him. He was there talking with Roy the other day, and the punters rang in, and they went, Roy and Mika, we have a question for you. Who would win in a boxing match between you and Mika? And Roy kind of went, huh. You know, I think Mika would win, in fairness, you know. I mean, no, I wouldn't, Roy. I wouldn't, you'd win. And Roy went, well, what weight are you? Mika went, 16 and a half stone. Roy went, I'm 12 and a half. You'd fucking kidding me.
That's like the contrast in the two of them as well.
Yeah, but he's huge.
Yes, he's huge. Like, and I love the whole thing they've got going there. I think when I started, especially the sporty ones I did the two of them quite a lot. And you were talking about the contrast between male and female or whatever it is between them two. It was like, the beauty of it was I was jumping off my sofa as Mika. I always forget what his actual name is because Roy calls him Mika, doesn't he? And and I was jumping off my seat, roaring and screaming and laughing for him. And then for Roy, it's like you barely even move. So I loved doing the two, and I loved showing a bit that you can do a bit of everything. And then I started doing Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher as well. And they've been on to me a few times about it, and they love slagging each other off. But I just love the way how they're all great mates as such, but they're all so different. And I think when you do a group of people in a video, you can show how different everybody is.
Yes.
And that's class.
Yeah, it draws attention to it. Yeah.
And even for me as an actor, to be able to do Roy and go to Mika in the same space of 10 minutes, I am always like, that must be a good like character acting kind of ability to be able to switch
Here's
between
one
the
for
two.
You, actually, that might be good. I don't know if you've thought about this. The idea that you know the way when you hear somebody, let's say when you hear two people speak in audio, mm-hmm. and you go, they're having an argument, right? And you're going, person A was winning that argument, person B was losing that argument. Then you see, let's look at it on video and see how that went. And you went, actually, no, it's different now. It looks different.
Yeah.
The same people doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was the same audio and video, but they, because I've seen it now, it looks different. It's this idea that back in the day, right, in the 1960s, in an American presidential election of 1960,
okay.
It was the first election that really, really used television. And John F. Kennedy was running against Richard Nixon. And when everybody listened to their debates on the radio, everybody said Nixon won the debates, hands down. But the debates weren't really being listened to on radio anymore. They're being watched on TV. And Kennedy was tanned, handsome and young and confident looking and relaxed. And everybody that watched TV said he won the debate.
Yeah.
Because what they saw was different to what they were hearing.
Yeah, sometimes the loudest person in the room isn't actually going to win it. And I would actually, now that we were speaking about that group there, Gary Neville a lot would pipe up and start listening off all these things that he, blah, 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 blah. But when I do Gary Neville, I actually do him nearly in tears.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
Do you know
so
what I mean?
What you're doing is you're bringing an editorial to it.
Yeah.
You're bringing an editorial. You're making a judgment.
Yes.
Which is interesting.
That's those little quirks. Remember we were talking about earlier?
Yeah.
Those are those little things that even though I can't change the audio about, I can change the argument
you
by
are
just
changing the argument.
Yeah,
and that's interesting.
By facial expressions,
yeah.
Or by demeanor.
It can also be very, very telling if you are watching a relationship between two people and one of them is very passive aggressive. Because passive aggressive mm-hmm. can be changed by you to I'm fucking coming down on
yes,
you.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
You know?
It's mad. Yeah.
Yeah,
you know, I know so, that you say that.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you can choose your emotion.
Yeah.
Yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could you do? I don't know how you answer this question. Maybe I'm sure you've thought about it. So try. Could you do a? If I said to you, "Hey, I'm Harve Weinberg, and I love Harve Weinberg. I'm from Netflix again. I was on to Bobby De Niro there or Daniel Day-Lewis last week, but now I'm calling you. if I said to you, we'll give you an hour on Netflix. Do you know how you'd do that?
That's another question. As in, what I would do as a
what
show?
What would Kaylee Trapp do? Do you know what you do? Or
I've thought about different things. As far as lip syncing goes, you're kind of limited there. I did have an idea of going back through old archives of old shows and reenacting them with the characters themselves and showing them a new perspective on a scene from years ago and different things like that. But I do think if I was to probably go down the lip syncing route, I don't know if you get a show out of it.
Yeah, okay.
It's the unfortunate thing.
You could use it as a thing within a show.
Absolutely. Yeah. Parts, elements. Like I did, as far as this will probably be aired afterwards, but I've got The Late Late on Friday,
yeah.
And we're doing live for it. And like, part of me is like, I'm so excited for it, but I'm also like, we'll see how this goes.
You're going to do live lip syncing.
Yeah, live lip syncing.
How will you do that?
I did the two Johnny's Late Night Lock-In there before Christmas, and not going to lie, even though I was excited to get the opportunity, I was going and going, what way is this going to go? Because it is live. Well, that wasn't live, but we actually did do it live in the end. And I did the Teresa Mannion clip, don't make unnecessary journeys. And
you see, that's what you're looking for as well. Just iconic moments.
Exactly. And the beauty of doing it was that the boys ended up covering me in water and blowing me with blow torches and or whatever it was. So that was the funny part of it. So whether or not I got the words lips right on time was like an afterthought. The funny thing, another thing about that was as soon as Johnny B turned on the leaf blower, the sound was couldn't hear a thing.
Right.
So it was a guessing game and I actually did end up getting it.
Oh God.
And you were talking about the brand deals the other day. I've done brand deals where I've had to go to the place and just do a lip sync there and then. Like, people will be looking at me with the way, they'll be like, what is your one at? But I'm kind of at the point now where I just don't care. I just tunnel vision, get it done. I keep saying to myself, they'll see it tomorrow when it's actually done and then understand now the whole process. But I went to a place there a few months ago and there was a DJ playing and it was like being in a nightclub and I had to make this video and I couldn't hear a word and people were coming over to me saying, how are you doing that? And I goes, from memory.
Okay.
So I realised, I was kind of impressed. So I came home that night and he goes, I did that without actually being able to hear the words.
Right.
So I just the timings I just knew before I did done it. So with live TV, to a certain degree, I can do it because it's nearly embedded in me, I think, I hope. But for the sake of a show in the future, it's kind of why you were asking me earlier, why do I speak for myself? Do I do that? Mm. Do I needed to show other sides of me to be able to progress in this industry, because the lip syncing is great for my page and it's great for where I began, but it probably won't get me everywhere I need to go, because it is so prepared and planned. You can't really do so much on the spot.
Have you done Michael D?
I haven't. No. You have that one. You see, you can have that title.
You'd be good at that because he's got such... He is the president. He is so elfin. He is so, you know, cute and small and
just waiting for my opportunity.
And his voice is so squeaky and, well, and you know, so it could work. You know?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. For some people, I have always, there's always people I intend to do. Like, I know I get requests. I've done her already, but people request all the time to do Kate Middleton because she has a very close pursed mouth and teeth, and my hair is quite similar to hers. And I get this, literally the amount of people asking. But sometimes I'm like, unfortunately, Kate, I don't have the clips. I've done one before and it did very well, but I'm looking at, especially at the minute, because there's lots of rumours going around about her. I'm like, come on, Kate, give me something to work with. That's the unfortunate thing about what I do. I have to wait for there to be an audio. Yeah. I have to wait for there
to be a
clip. Her
voice isn't, for me, that well known.
It's not. That's the beauty of what I do, you see. It doesn't have to be her voice. It's her face that I can do. So people don't actually care. The clip I did of her a few months ago was so boring. I mean, nothing she said and it was of interest. Okay. But the fact that I got her face right, it went crazy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, interesting.
See, it doesn't really sometimes matter about the actual clip.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
So it can work two ways.
Yes.
It can work with a great clip or it can work with your face doing them.
Yeah.
Ah, okay, very good. I'm sure you know Sarah Cooper.
Yes.
So Sarah Cooper, for our listeners, it came around in TikTok as well, or COVID as well. And she was the young female lip syncer in America who kind of got famous doing Trump.
She did. She's gone quiet though. Or,
she has.
Yeah, yeah. But that, see, there was, America seemed to have kind of hit the lip syncing business quicker than we did. And I used to see people like her and a bit like that. I've never done Trump, but I was doing very general ones. And then I went very Irish based. And then I just thought, the beauty of what I do is I can kind of do anybody from anywhere. So don't worry so much about niching yourself to Ireland, to Irish people, especially. I was doing just very specific Irish sport for a long time. And then I don't really know who it was. Maybe Victoria Beckham and David Beckham. I was like, you can kind of tackle anyone. And then when I started doing the Brits, they were really fond of it and getting on board. And I was like, this is great. So I don't want to narrow myself to just one.
Yeah. Trump. Well, it's obviously perfect to do.
Trump would be perfect, but then he's a wee bit saturated, I think, as well.
Well, he's saturated, but
everyone does Trump.
Everybody does Trump, you're right. And there was another guy, a comedian I really like, called Peter Serafanovitz.
Okay.
And he's great with his voice as well, but he's a great comedian, he's a great sketch guy, but he's you should look him up, Peter Serafanovitz. It's a kind of a he's Brit, but it's a Polish name. And he used to do a thing. he used to do a thing called Sassy Trump.
Oh.
Right? So Sassy Trump is, he used to just take the clips of Trump. So he would take the clips of Trump and he would overdub his voice perfectly on Trump's face, except he made Trump really gay. So it's like, and it was just perfect for the lips.
And it works.
We are going to make America great again. And Trump's hands, of course, are all like this, you know, like this. Trump's hands are all over the place. So it was great.
I love the way some people would genuinely think that is Trump as well.
Yeah.
He probably got in trouble
for it. He
called
it Sassy Trump. Uh-huh. And it was good.
You can kind of make anything work nowadays, really, if you wanted to.
Yeah. There's a couple I think you should have a look at anyway. Have you ever seen Jacob Rees-Mogg? Have a look
possibly
at him anyway.
I probably have. It's just names.
Huge character in Britain, but look, when you see him, you'll
lip sync as well, or
you. But just the state of him.
Okay.
People look him up, you know, and also the sound of him is hilarious.
Has he got a face I can work with?
Has he got a face you can work with? Yes, he does. Yeah.
I call them mouthisms. You have to be careful what you talk about mouths. So I was on. I was on the 6 o'clock show a few months ago with Karen Koster and Greg O'Shea, and we were talking about different characters, and I was like, oh, and I saw Peter Crouch who said, there's a mouth I can work with. And we all just looked down and I was like, oh no. Or anytime I start talking about mouths, I'd be like, yeah, they have a fantastic mouth, and the way they slouch their mouth or the way they use their tongue, and people are looking at me like, Hayley, you're going to be lip sync next, out of context. And I was like, right, okay. So I stopped talking about mouths and maybe more about faces. But yeah.
Have you done Davy Fitz?
I have, yeah. Davy Fitz is one of my originals, actually. Yeah.
He's I may have seen that one.
I did.
Davy's great because he carries with him all this emotion.
Yeah. And he's so, he nearly is a contradiction in himself, because I know he did that. He did a show working with young boys and trying to better their lives, and he was really calm on that show. And then he went on, or he obviously does Ireland's Fittest Family, and he's like, he's Davy Fitz on it. And then obviously in the interviews as well. But I did a few skits of him where it was, I'm really calm, and the next thing I'd shoot to me roaring and screaming, and go back to him being back
intensity.
And forth. But Davey knows, and I think people, he also doesn't have social media, but people have got on to me and said he watches them, he enjoys them, so that's always
intense.
Nice.
It's his intensity.
Everything goes from 0 to 100
with
Davey.
What about Katie Taylor?
Yeah, I've done Katie.
How did that work out?
Katie Taylor. Yeah, everything's down. People, I did Katie Taylor and it worked well. That was before the fight last year with Chantelle. But then I actually went on and did an impersonation of her one time, and people did kind of say, leave her alone, she's only blah. And I was like, I'm not, you know.
But you did the lip syncing.
I did the lip syncing of her, yeah. And she's great. I actually give myself like a black eye and everything for that. But you do a good Katie Taylor, don't you?
I do, yeah, I suppose. I mean, I try to do her without ever taking a breath. So basically, I try to create 1.5 minute long sentences.
Yes.
And Ian just ends up laughing at because he knows I'm losing my breath.
But that's what the funny is then. That's the little thing, that's the little quirk obviously of Katie that you picked up on. And
well,
I love
yeah,
that.
But we said, imagine Katie Taylor being your waitress at a thing, and she's telling you the specials for today.
Oh gosh.
It's like they're that long, you know.
Yeah. Oh yes, that's right. God help her.
So all that sort of stuff. So anyway, look up Jacob Rees-Mogg.
I will.
You're saying for the British market, you know.
Look it up now.
Yep. And I'll tell you what, we're gonna finish it there. You're gonna do the Late Late Show this Friday.
Yeah,
okay, I'll tune in for that.
Exciting times ahead. To be honest, I don't know about you, but sometimes I would get imposter syndrome in this industry and think like, why would they want to work with me? And even when I've been out at different events, I'm getting better at adjusting to the fact that I've earned my spot here. I was at an event last year and Myrna O'Connell, actually, she's really, really lovely. She came up to me and she was like, I can tell you're a bit nervous. I was like, yeah. She says, you've earned your spot. And I think that's, I hell lip syncing. I love it, but for so long, I just thought, what is it? It's not a talent. It's not a blah. But now that I've grown to learn more about it and whatever, I'm realizing now, gee, you know, I have something going for me with this. And like we were talking about earlier with the acting, it's part of it. So when they did ask me on, I was like, yeah, I'd love to do it. And I feel like I'm going to hopefully really enjoy it. And for me, it's for the late, I don't know about you, but for my parents to be sitting there, I'm like, I've peaked. My dad
said that as well. I remember watching Colin Farrell on the Late years ago. And, I think Tubbs was saying to him, like, are you okay? And Colin went, no, I'm fucking planking it. And Tubbs went, yeah, why? And Colin went, because I didn't get nervous going on Graham Norton or any of those American shows. But like, I just know that everybody I know is watching this Late Show.
Yeah.
And I'm planking it.
Yeah.
So, you know, whether you like it or not, it is kind of a national institution and your mother and father watches it. And that's it.
My dad actually said to me last week, he's like, do you know what? I don't think I should go. And my dad would be a bit like, he'd be a hardy man, you know, there'd be no, you know, he wouldn't worry about things like that. And I said, why? He goes, I think I'd just be too nervous for you. And I was like, Dad, you saying that is making me feel like I should be nervous. I was like, you just stop. So he's going to go, and they've warned me now not to be calling them out on anything, but I can't keep
you
a good
promise.
Sometimes.
Oh, I do. You should do that sometime. You should do a lip sync. Maybe try and do a lip sync of both of your parents.
I did.
Did you?
I've done a few. I did.
Nobody will know what your parents sound like, but when you tell them this is my parents, it'll be you doing your interpretation of your parents' faces.
Yeah, I did. Oh, of my parents. Yeah. Sorry.
Do
yes, I think it with them.
No, do a lip sync of them.
I know.
So it'd be like, you record your dad going, oh, I couldn't fucking do that, and then you do that later.
That would be for great. I love that. I love when I do an impersonation of somebody I know or whatever. Yeah, they would.
Go, shit, that's her parents.
Yeah, because I've done everybody else's parents. I've done so many like Leaving Cert clips
and
so many fathers.
How much it means to you.
Yes, I'll have to keep that one in mind. I have to catch them off the hop
things
now.
Things that matter to you are also important as well. Like yes. Not just the work. I'm delighted to have talked to you, and thank you very much, Kaylee. Lovely to have met you.
Thank you so much, Mario.
And that's it. My thanks to Kaylee Trapp. My thanks to you for listening. It's mariorosenstock@gmail.com. If you want to get in touch with me, I read them all and get back to most of them. Same time, same place next week. Take care.